Friends in Christ and the family of Bethlehem, so far these last 40 days, we have heard this call of our Lord echoed. Return to the Lord. We've seen ways in which and things in which we can turn from. And you know far more in your own mind and heart still tonight. Things in which we can turn from. Things that are obstacles in our life that keep us from a life well-lived and a faith that is weaned off of spiritual milk. Return to the Lord. Tonight we get to see one more thing, not to turn from, but that we can turn to and see of our Lord. Pity. Now, before I define what that means for us tonight, I want to share with you a little bit of some backstory. As I sit and stand before you here, I have a confession to make. When I was a little boy, maybe about 5 or 6 years old, I was kind of a weird kid. Now, you might say, kind of a weird adult too, but that's for a different story. But I was strange. I had some different ways of thinking, and I often got bored. And I remember back in the day, I used to grow pumpkins. It was around the fall, and I had grown a bunch of pumpkins, and I was trying to sell them on the side of the road for passersby, just to make a small profit. I had that entrepreneurial spirit as a young age. And it was a Saturday morning, and the cars kept going by, and I had all these pumpkins, and nobody seemed to stop. And so I got a little frustrated and got a little bored. So you know me, I can't just sit there and do nothing. I wanted to do something. And so I started to make up a game. I would pick up some stones and rocks and see just how far I could throw them. And I wasn't that strong back then. I was small, and I could maybe get them just past the ditch of the road. And I got frustrated again. And I started to get even more frustrated, so I took up a big pile of rocks. Instead of throwing one at a time, I decided I'm just going to take them all. Gathered a big bunch of rocks, and I threw them across the road to see how far I could get them all. And as I did that, at the perfect timing, a car came straight through. And you can hear the glass of the windshield just cracking. Just demolishing that windshield of the car. Luckily, they weren't driving very fast, and my 5-year-old arms weren't that strong, and the rocks weren't that big, and we diverted what could have been a tragedy. And luckily, it happened to be a family friend that was driving by, so we kind of resolved things with the insurance company quite well later, but it happened to be that I was doing this at my grandmother's house, selling the pumpkins. And it happened that I had to go into the house after all this happened. And as I sat there alone, and after hearing the phone go down, after the conversation's been made with my mother and father, in walks in my grandmother. And you can imagine what her face looked like as she saw her young grandson getting into trouble, big trouble, once again. I was a favorite of my grandmother, so I knew I wasn't going to be totally grounded for the rest of my life, but she had this look on her face. She didn't have to say a word, but I knew it. Something was very, very wrong. I've never seen somebody look at another person that way. A feeling of frustration was on her face and in her eyes. Feeling of extreme disappointment. Maybe even shame. And my little 5-year-old heart just sunk down to the floor. I had brought dishonor to not only my grandmother, to my whole family by this little incident that I thought was a game. And it was in that phase of my grandmother back then that I reminded myself of what we heard tonight. Let me read once more these words of Scripture. It happened three times now that Peter had denied knowing who Jesus was. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and did like five-year-old Aaron, and he wept bitterly. That's the face of shame. That's the face of disappointment. But tonight, that's the face of pity. Now, we've heard that word before. Some people have used it all different ways. So for our sake tonight, I want to do some actual investigative journalism and look up what Webster's Dictionary have to say about the word pity. It's a cause for regret or disappointment. So that's pretty on point, right? Whether it's a crucial mistake gone wrong or a simple act of betrayal among friends and a betrayal in faith in a Lord. Certainly, I can understand Jesus being God, still having a heart and knowing that he has been severely disappointed in his would-be great apostle, Peter. But there's another entry to define pity tonight. It's the feeling of sorrow and compassion caused by the suffering and misfortunes of others. Did you catch that? It's not just the feeling of sorrow, but of compassion. Little did I know it, that it wasn't just disappointment that my grandmother had felt in me when I had done something really foolish. But in and behind her bright blue eyes, I knew that she couldn't help but still love me. What else could she do? And I think that's how we can see what the situation at hand is this Maundy Thursday. Often we gloss over this pretty important event. We like to focus on the early part of the day, where Jesus had sat down with his disciples in this meal, remembering the Passover. For thousands of years, Jews had remembered the day in which God had delivered them from the house of slavery. Back in Egypt, when Moses and the Lord had instructed the Israelites to put lamb's blood over their doors, because that night the angel of death would pass over and kill every single firstborn in Egypt that obeyed or that disobeyed the faith of our Lord. And so for thousands of years, the people of God remembered that night where God had passed over that slavery. And that was the occasion once more of Jesus and his disciples remembering that Passover meal. It's that meal that we remember, and we remember each and every time we gather here at this altar, that in this meal, the Lord passes over us, glosses over, covers our sin, time and time again. And it's easy that we can miss what the rest of the story has to say for us once more. We can talk about the betrayal of Judas, the arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, the prayer of our Lord. But it's here when faithful Peter, you could call him faithless Peter, doubting Peter again, denied even knowing who Jesus was, causing once more for Jesus to turn and look right in the face and right in the eye of his denier. And it's pity. But as I have said, it's not just sorrow, it's not just disappointment, it's a look of compassion. And I think that's what hurts the most. When you can't help but love somebody, but you can't help but just feel disappointed in the one that you love. To me, that's a greater sense of disappointment. It's easy to be disappointed in somebody we don't care about, right? But if it's somebody that you have to live with, somebody that you trust in, that you just can't help but have a heart for, that's a more devastating kind of pity. But it's not just Peter. I want you to go back with me, and as we recount tonight this passage of Scripture, it was quite long, but lots of things packed in there. First of all, Jesus instructs his disciples to find a man carrying a jar of water to meet them. Normally, this wouldn't be a man's job in that time and age. And they didn't seem to blink an eye about how unusual this circumstance was, that they'd be led into a home that they never even had to prepare a dinner for. And it's been days now in which these dirty and dusty disciples have been walking the streets of Jerusalem as animals have gone by, littering the streets with their own exhaust, you might call it, the camels and donkeys, sheep and goats, and they're walking not with brand new Nikes, but with open feet sandals. And they're dirty and dusty and unclean. And at the hour that the Passover meal was ready to be served, the disciples just sat down there, wondering who was the greatest among them. And it's Jesus that has to remind them. It's not about who can be the greatest in the kingdom. It's about who is it that's willing to serve. Every single one of you, every single one of the 12, expected to be served. They didn't see any servant boy, any handmaiden washing their feet or willing to do the work to set out the table. They expected to sit down as kings on their own and be served and have the audacity to ask their own Lord to serve them without even deserving it. You see, they just don't get it. They never understood the meaning behind all these events. And I don't think either any of us do either. Sometimes we might get really close, but a lot of times we go through our week and our life expecting to be served. We're Americans. We're consumers. It's ingrained in our heads and minds. What's the best deal that I can get? If I don't like this business, I'll just find another. If this place won't let me in, I'll just go somewhere else. If I don't like this church, I'll find another. If I don't like this speaker, I'll find another. We expect to be served rather than to serve at heart. Sometimes we do better and we catch ourselves. For that, I thank you. But at base value, every single one of us expects first to be served, not to serve. And that's the lesson tonight, that I think the Lord has the greatest pity on all of us. What can we get from Jesus instead of what can we give to one another. We come tonight worshiping our Lord and thanking him for this gift of his service. What we receive tonight is something the world cannot give you. But it's with pity that we have to remind ourselves we just don't get it. What can we give our Lord that would deserve such a gift for forgiveness of sins? And in that face, we turn to see our Lord, not just disappointed in our lack of compassion for one another in our life. Think about that. What would our Lord say about what the things that you have seen in the news this day? Have we been servants for one another? Do we put the best construction on everything? Or do we resort in our first thinking that everybody is just dumber than we are, or we're better than every single person? Or we know exactly what we need more than anybody else? It's easy for our Lord to look upon the sin in this world with regret and disappointment. But with those eyes of mercy, he just can't help but look with compassion as well. Not just eyes of a grandmother, but with eyes of a creator and eyes of a servant. Tonight, many things are going on. We can recount the history behind it all, the meaning behind it all, the significance behind it all. But as we come together as broken and sinful people, we receive what we can offer, the compassion and forgiveness of our Lord. Tonight, we are called to return and see this fact of pity upon our sin. But within that pity, and with all those memories of sin, remember that our Lord has compassion. We know the end of the story for Jesus. We know the end of the story for Peter as well. After he had done more than just throw rocks and break windshields, Peter was restored into being the greatest of apostles, being a stalwart in building the Christian church. And if he can do that for a man that didn't even want to acknowledge knowing who Jesus was, how much more will he be willing to do for you? Once more, the Lord looks upon you tonight. He turns and sees you. He sees right down deep into your heart. He knows every single thing that you have done and every single thing that you will do. And yes, he looks with disappointment upon that sin that's hidden in there. But even more than that, he looks upon you with compassion once more tonight. And he shows us the example of living. So once more, turn and see how our Lord has not just pity, but compassion on you tonight. And how you can turn and see the people in our world with those same eyes of mercy. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night in which we remember your gift of forgiveness in your body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us be examples to remember this night in our actions. Examples of mercy, examples of compassion, and witnesses of truly us knowing you and your Son, Jesus, and the love he has for this sinful and broken world. Help us be great in your kingdom by serving you once more. Amen.